So this morning, if you're here for the first time, usually we have a sermon in this section, but this morning for this summer day, I have asked folks from the congregation, starting from some of our youngest people to our most elderly and respected people, to namaste, to share with you their response to the Mary Oliver poem, The Summer Day. And so first I'm going to read the poem and then invite our youngest respondent. And then when we're finished, we're going to sing and rejoice again. And when we do it next time after we've all shared, we're going to break it into four parts for a round. So we'll have this. I'm going to ask Joe to help me, okay? This first section will be section number one. That'll be Joe's section. Then section number two will be in the back. Who wants to lead that section? Somebody does. I know you do. I'll lead that section. And section number three will be in the back over here. Who wants to lead that section? Heidi does. So Heidi will lead that, and Allison will lead section number four up here, okay? So that's after we share. We'll do sing and rejoice. Now I forgot what I'm doing. No, I know that, what section I'm doing. Thank you. I'm reading the poem, The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down in the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
I'm Felicia Quijano. I actually don't know what I'm going to do with my one wild and precious life. There are so many things that I find interesting and want to spend time doing. For example, I like learning and I hope to get a chance to go to college someday. I might also choose to become a teacher. I have had some really great teachers, and I love the idea of getting to be that important in the lives of other children. I also love reading and writing. Maybe I will be an author or a poet and share my thoughts and ideas with the world. I also value my sister, cousins, and friends. I know that being a kind person is a good use of my wild and precious life, since this is what keeps these people in my life and will most likely grant me new friends as I grow older. I will definitely try for these things, but I don't know what is in store for me. The author, William Golding, who wrote Lord of the Flies, helped me see that life can bring big changes. He said, "Bit by bit, the Second World War really changed my view of what people were capable of, and therefore what human nature was." His life was changed by fighting in the war, and it caused him to look at everything differently. It also caused him to write Lord of the Flies. After reading an adventure book to his children, William Golding decided to write a book like that where the characters would, in his mind, behave as they really would, like they did in the war. I am not going to fight in the war, but there are other surprises life will bring. Maybe I'll move again, or maybe some other life-changing event will happen that I can't even imagine right now. The best I can do is not try to guess how my experiences will change me, but just to stay ready and open. Thank you.
Before you start, hang on one second. Could you just scoot over one?
Could I? This is fabulous, and I think that we might be able to take it in as much as we are drawn to applaud if we just hold the silence for each person, so that it doesn't feel like a performance as much as an experience. Is that okay? Can I do that?
Yes.
Wonderful. I know your applause is in your heart, and we're all grateful. Thank you, Danae.
I'm Danae Dunnigan. Ever since Katie asked me if I wanted to share for today's service, I've done a lot of thinking about life and what it means to be in my 20s. It was really difficult to narrow down my fleeting ideas to something appropriate for this forum. The poem, The Summer Day, brings so many thoughts and connections for me, from each creature providing different purposes for our world to taking things slow in today's fast-paced world, to what is it that I really plan to do with this one wild, precious life I've been given. I've certainly made plans and followed through with them, college, graduate school, becoming a therapist. So now what? I'm realizing that planning and goal making will never cease. When I was a child, oh, how I looked forward to being an adult. All the responsibility and freedom, having a husband and children, having everything settled, determined, and comfortable. And back then, I wanted all of that by now. I thought life would come to a figurative standstill once I reached adulthood. I looked forward to having control of my life, never listening to my elders who told me to take advantage of being a child, stay a kid for as long as possible. And of course, now I find myself wanting to tell children that too, but I can still understand their naivety and excitement in awaiting being a grown-up. Now I am 24, single, with no children, but I'm perfectly okay with that. My life is not where I thought it would be, but I'm okay with that. One of my professors in graduate school told us to believe in the process, and that is exactly what I'm doing. I'm making the plans I can, goals I can meet personally, but I'm leaving the rest to destiny and fate. I, however, do believe that my frame of mind, actions, and behaviors have an impact on that destiny. I read and journal for personal growth, do fun activities with my family, and carefully chosen close friends. I'm going to start playing roller hockey, a totally unexpected thing. Currently, I am counseling individual children, adults, couples, and families, and I learn so much from each and every one of my clients. I am very much a people person. Helping others and listening to them and talking with them about anything and everything are my passions. I love conversing with all sorts of people. So please come up and talk with me if you ever feel compelled to do so. I've been told that unless I smile, I can look pretty mean or unapproachable. But I would love to speak with anyone about anything. I love to listen to others' views, and I also have a lot to say. Overall, I feel extremely lucky, blessed, to have found my passion and a career to match. Now I am in the process of making my dreams pertaining to this passion come true. As I said, the rest I leave to fate.
I'm David Middleton. Am I in the prime of my life? Maybe. Will I look back and recall these as the best years of my life? Perhaps. Am I making the most of these special fleeting moments with my family, children, and friends? Any response to these questions would be highly subjective and perhaps more hyperbole than anything else. My 4-year-old daughter Maya says to me, "You're going to die at the last number." She says this not in a somber tone, nor enthusiastic, more matter-of-fact than anything else. "Yes, I will," I say. Well, none of us know our final number. And to be honest, at this point in my life, it is not something that I think about much anyway. But I would be remiss if I did not say that I do see the acknowledgement of our fleeting existence as a call for action, to truly enjoy the moments that we have here, to celebrate events, milestones, and Supreme Court rulings. And to appreciate the simple joys in life that we share. To also be aware of and combat injustices around us, such as the fact that tomorrow student loan interest rates will double due to the Congress's inactivity in this regard, impacting negatively millions of students, especially those from underserved communities where higher education is becoming less and less a reality. I remember having similar thoughts 20 years ago when my grandfather died. He lived his life with flair. He loved Frank Sinatra and would always joke, we would joke, how Grandpa Frank did things his way. What do I want? How do I want to be remembered? Do I want to say, or for others to say, that I did it my way? Or is there more to life than that? Or is that really it? We have all heard the advice. You can't be a good partner, a good parent, a good friend, colleague, you fill in the blank, if you don't set aside time to care for yourself. I guess for me, at this busy time in my life, it's all about a quest for balance. What do I want for my family, my children, my friends, for my students, for my fellow educators, for future generations who will inherit this frail, beautiful planet? I feel blessed to have so many questions rushing through my head at this particular time in my life. Ironically, it is these questions that allow me to reflect, to feel connected and grounded. I acknowledge the fleeting nature of our lives. I will tackle the challenges, appreciate the relationships, and savor the simple joys that we all share.
I'm Allison Prout, and to me, this poem is a reminder to stop and smell the roses, to enjoy every minute we've got, because each one is precious. We spend too much time caught up in our own thoughts, rushing around, trying to keep up. Summer is the traditional time for people of all ages to slow down and enjoy being less scheduled. The weather is warm and calls us outside. School is out and there's more time to play. Many people go on vacation. This summer, we're taking a family trip to the Pacific Northwest, where we'll drive around the Northern Cascades and enjoy the mountain scenery, hiking, and swimming. As this poem reminds us, the trick is to enjoy the journey. There is beauty and wonder in the smallest and simplest things, like grasshoppers. When we take time to observe nature, we are reminded of our connection to the larger world and to the divine. The more senses we use, the stronger the connection. I feel a particular connection to the water, so we'll visit the islands of Puget Sound on our journey, as well as the mountains, relaxing in the warm sun, watching the waves roll in and out, feeling the sand beneath my toes, finding sea treasures on the shore, taking a dip in the cool and refreshing water, hearing and feeling the wind blowing and the saltiness of the sea. This is where I feel the most alive and at peace. How about you? What's your sweet spot?
I'm Wayne Binion. You may not be aware of this, but Katie has done this before. And last year, as I listened to this poem and knew what was going on, I was very, very glad not to be asked to comment on it. But this year, it's a different story. So, who made the world? Now, right off the bat on that, I have a problem. I don't think anyone made the world. In fact, I don't think the world was made. It happened. This little spinning rock in orbit around an ordinary star in an ordinary galaxy somehow engendered a self-replicating protein shortly after its surface cooled below the boiling point of water. That protein did what it could. It replicated and replicated again and again. Over millions of years, it reproduced, and the replication was not perfect. Mistakes were made. And eventually, over eons, the mistakes that survived became the swan, the black bear, the grasshopper with its enormous and complicated eye, and us. We, one of the results of this process, are amazed and by the beauty of what we see and gaze in wonderment. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, to steal a phrase from Abraham Lincoln. Certainly more fitting than attributing it to a man named... attributing it to a man living on the planet Kolob. But I digress. Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? I feel particularly well qualified to comment on this line. In 1990, I met someone who seemed to fit me to a T, and I fell deeply, madly in love. Over the ensuing 2 years, I watched my love wither away in both body and mind until he was no more. 8 years after that blow, I met another man who fell deeply, madly in love with me. Eventually, with a lot of effort on his part, it became mutual. And after the shortest 10 years I ever experienced, an oncologist told us that my love would be dead within a year, and possibly much less. It turned out to be a couple of months. At least it was quick. So yes, everything does die at last, and too soon. To me, the writer seems to think our job is to pay attention, to notice, to experience creation while it, everything that dies, is with us. I do my inadequate best to do that. So tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I seem to remember last year all the speakers had a concrete task that they were working on, a world improvement project that at least had some hope of improving the world. I have no such project. To what purpose should this time that I have so generously and cruelly been given? I don't know.
I'm Nancy Harrison. At age 68, it's undeniable that more of my wild and precious life is behind me than lies before. In the last few years, I've lost my mother, along with my strongest tie to the state I grew up in, and my husband and the home I shared with him. The health of my two older siblings is becoming shaky. I've also lost some friends. I'm pushing my high-achieving but ever-needy daughter to become more independent so that I can lose her, too. And I know that no matter how hard I work to maintain my daughter, and I do work very hard at that, I will inevitably lose the good health I've been fortunate to have for my whole life. Now, despite all that, my life seems better than ever before. These losses have given me a chance to explore what I really like and do what I want to do without being so concerned about what other people like and want. I've learned that I like traveling and occasionally doing exciting things, but I like coming home more. I like being half of a couple without having a husband to put up with. I like being on my own in a small apartment with good maintenance men rather than owning a home that I have to maintain. I prefer living in somewhat gritty, unpretentious, accepting Hayward rather than in somewhat uptight Castro Valley. Those of you who live there may know what I mean. Or pristine, wealthy San Ramon, which I also tried out. I love hearing lots of languages around me and seeing an abundance of different skin colors. I love riding my bike to run errands, walking to BART to go to Berkeley and the city, although today I'm rushing to the city and I won't even be here for the end of the service. I've learned that it's more important to me than I knew to live close to this church and share my life with yours. I really enjoy the work I've been doing in the church, and I plan to continue contributing to the welfare of the church and the community in different ways. I do need to feel useful. But what I really like to do with my wild and precious life is just relax and have fun. To the degree that life allows, I plan to be frivolous and self-indulgent. As I was writing this, I kept pushing that confession away. I'm definitely sort of ashamed not to be saying something like, I'm going to devote my life to helping blind children in Honduras. But I'm not going to say that. The truth is, I want to spend lazy mornings with a cup of coffee and the newspaper puzzles after I go to the gym. I want to hike and bike and ski as long as I'm able to do it. I want to do a bit more traveling. I want to go to concerts and the theater and ballet and opera. I want to eat good food. Not too much of it. See lots of movies, sing and dance a little, just play. I know I'm very lucky to have that choice open to me, and I see no good reason not to take it. Now, perhaps as time passes, I will feel a need to do more for others or for the earth, and I can appear to be noble and generous to others. But right now, I want to loaf and party. And I hope that some of you will be able to join me in those endeavors.
Hi, I'm Ann Chapel. I'm a 70-year-old half-time psychiatrist, still practicing. I've also been a hobby gardener for my entire adult life. I think the hobby gardener heard this poem almost harder than any other part of myself. It's so easy to sing a song of summer, especially where we live, where it's so temperate and the summer is so wonderful. Feeling it's not hot and humid, it's just delightful. For each of us, some of the details for what we love are different, but many, many are the same. I don't wonder where anything came from. I do wonder what is going to happen to the plants and animals that I see around me. I greet each day with birdsong and with the touch of fur from my cats and dogs. I marvel at the butterflies and bees in my garden. I delight in the lilies in my garden that get pollinated by flies and are smart enough to have the scent that attracts the flies. They smell like dead meat when they're blooming, but they're gorgeous. They're a cousin of calla lilies, except they're purple. They're bigger, and they're purple and ruffled. They're wonderful looking and peculiar, but I love that. I love that. Right now, and then for the last month, my garden has been sprouting nonstop, and it's a war to keep the weeds from overtaking the garden. And right now, there's this chaos of weeds and garden all dappled with flowers. But it's going. It's going. And it's somehow the gardener's heart loves it all and allows some chaos to be there. And some of the fun is that I've discovered that some of the weeds are edible. I've got a new one. Purslane is edible. It tastes like lemony lettuce. And nasturtiums, dandelion greens, and borage also are edible. I delight each time that I can cross from weed to edible in any event. The family history rings true. I have easily another 25 years of this one wild, precious life. And that's enough. That's plenty. I need to fill it full of my wonderful garden, the pets, the people, the books, the politics, the ideas, the activities, the active activities, the church, and I will do fine. Thank you. And the work. As long as I make
it. I'm Evelyn Cormier. Is that about right? And when Katie sent the poem, I didn't have a grasshopper, but my granddaughters sent me a cicada for Christmas when they bloomed 17 years ago. So you can very carefully look at it after the service because it's one of my precious possessions. Granddaughters like the darndest things. Well, my life has probably always centered around books because when I was a child, my life was pretty chaotic and the books were a quiet comfort. I read everything I could lay my hands on because I lived out in the country. I read my mother's magazines. I read the Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. I read the Bible cover to cover, and the Old Testament scared me silly. And since there have been many teachers in my family, that's probably what made me choose teaching as my life's work. And one of the things that I discovered along the way in working with children was that older kids who had no real ability to read did not actually have the basic skills they should have started out with. So I decided that it was important that I teach the primary grades and try to get students set on the right path so that they had enough reading skills to get through their lives more successfully. And now that I'm retired, I still do books here at Star King, of course. How could I not? And I am a volunteer with the Hayward Friends of the Public Library, which is great fun. Of course, I'm still dabbling in politics, which I've done most of my adult life. And actually, that's what brought me to Star King in the first place. I was out marching around and met people like Leora Cook and Jean Velkowski marching around also. So here I am still doing it. There are several environmental groups that keep me very busy. That's been a long time interest of mine. I have been a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee of Hayward Area Shoreline Planning Agency, and I belong to Sherman Lewis's HAPA, H-A-P-A. I belong to the Audubon Society, all of which are pretty environmentally aimed. In the meantime, I am doing one of my favorite activities, which I call playing in the mud, otherwise known as pottery. And my goal in life now is to become half as good as Terry Hunt is.